Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Today is another Bob and Richard show where we will answer questions sent in by our readers. Many were sent in to gamblingwithanedge.com or on Twitter. Also, Richard posted a request at gwe.com and his Facebook page. Some of you responded. Now, before we get into the questions, we have a new sponsor on at least a temporary basis. Richard, tell us about that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this because, we have had two sponsors prior to this, and we really want to only have sponsors that we actually believe in. And for longtime listeners of the show, they know that we've been recommending AutoSlash for quite a long time. And So now AutoSlash is going to be a sponsor. So I just want to tell you about how I got hooked on them in the first place, which was somebody on our show. It could have been Jimmy Jazz.
Jimmy
Jazz. It could have been Cartwright.
Jimmy Jazz.
Well, a few years back, I'm going. Anyway, I was going to go on a ski trip and with the family, and I wanted to rent a van. And so I put it into AutoSlash a couple of months ahead of time. And one of the good things about renting here in Las Vegas is I was able to put it in at the Las Vegas airport, but then do a separate reservation to pick up in Las Vegas, not at the airport. And you're allowed to do that. So I had two reservations.
In case it was cheaper, one or the other.
Yeah, whichever one was going to be cheaper would be the one I took.
Yeah.
And so the cool thing about them is once you make a reservation, they track all the prices until the time you actually are there to rent the car. And they send you an email that says, oh, the price we gave you before, we found a cheaper one. And then you just click and boom, you go to the cheaper one. Well, during that two-month period, the price went down four times. And originally, it was going to be over $300 for the week for this van. And by the time I rented it, it was $129 for the week. So ever since then, I have been a devoted fan of AutoSlash.
I can bet.
Yeah. The other thing that's cool about it is when you first make a reservation, they have checkboxes for any possible discounts you could get, like if you have a Discover card or if you have United Airline miles, or they have all these different things, Costco member, so that any discounts that might apply to you there, they're going to find them and they're going to apply them. So on average, people save like over 30% on their rentals using AutoSlash. So, and one other thing. You can go search for a car rental somewhere else and then go to AutoSlash and plug in whatever rental you have, and they will still track it. And over the time, if they find something cheaper, they will notify you. So, and the other thing, one more thing, I know I could go on about these guys, but anyway, one more thing is they have an offer where, so I just put in a reservation for a car. I'm traveling in November, and I put in a reservation. They said, here's the cheapest price we have, or you can pay now and at a 17% discount. And if you choose that pay now, it still gets tracked. And if they find something cheaper, you can still get the lower price. And that can be canceled if you do it prior to 48 hours before the rental. So there's no risk there. So anyway, those are all the things we like about AutoSlash, and we're really happy to have them as a sponsor.
I agree, and I have my own list of things that I will tell you about next week.
Right.
Okay, now, we've had several listeners complimenting us on the show, and several have asked, is there a way they can help us keep the show going? Turned out there is. Richard.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had people ask, why don't we have a Patreon page? And for those of you who don't know, Patreon is a place where you sign up and you're basically a patron of the arts and you sign up for some monthly amount of money that you give to that, whatever that is. And we've always resisted that. But there are a couple of simple things that you can do that would be helpful for us. One of them is wherever you get this podcast, whether it's YouTube or iTunes or whatever, subscribe to it. Because when we're looking for advertisers, one of the things they look at is the number of subscribers that we have. So if you want to listen to the show anyway, just hit subscribe and do it. And that way you'll also get notified anytime there's a new show. And the other thing that you can do is, I'm not asking you to do this if you don't do it, but if you interact with any of our sponsors on social media, Facebook, Twitter, any of those things, then mention that you heard about it on the show. That would be helpful as well, because then our sponsors know, you know, you don't have to put in any coupon codes or follow any links to go to our sponsors. So that it's a way for them to know that their sponsorship is getting them some customers. So that's it.
Good. And the sponsorship is appreciated.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, very much so. Because without them, we wouldn't be able to do this.
Yeah, as of now, with our sponsors, Rich and I are each making about $100 a week. And it takes us 3 or 4 hours to, or whatever it is, to get guests and all kinds of stuff. So it's like we're trying to get it up to 110.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? I'd be willing to do the show for free, but I wouldn't be willing to pay to do the show. So.
Well, I'm glad that you know your price. All right. Now, I just came back from 3 weeks of cruising. I learned a few things about Norwegian Cruise Line procedures that I don't think we've talked about before on the air. Since highly discounted cruises are offered by Caesars Entertainment, Penn National, and a few other casino chains, I suspect several of our listeners patronize NCL as well. What I want to talk about is wine. When you sign up for the cruise, you get some freebies. I get two of them. I don't know if that's standard or it's because I'm at the Platinum Plus level, meaning I've cruised for at least 25 weeks. One of them is $50 off excursions at every port, but they must be collected one port at a time and can't be added up all at once. To me, this is worthless. I basically never sign up for excursions on the ship. Any excursions I want, I can book online or... when you go on shore, there's myriads of companies hawking what they do. So that was not of interest. Another gift we always pick up is 3 specialty dinners, which are a higher quality than the meals you get for free. Exactly which restaurants you're eligible for depends on the ship. They have a free alcohol option, which I suppose is worth considering depending on your habits, but not for us. It is, when they charge people for this, it's $89 a day with an 18% forced gratuity, which means the gratuity is $16 a day for all adults in the cabin. So Bonnie doesn't drink at all, and I'll have a glass of wine or two if it's available, but it's all right to go several days with no wine at all. So... Paying $32 a day when I could do without the wine at all, and they give me a few wine bottles of wine anyway, that made no sense. Now, if you're going to buy bottles of wine on the ship, and many people do, consider buying them ashore and paying a $7.50 per bottle corkage fee. A $20 bottle on shore costs $40 on the ship, which makes the corkage fee a bargain.
Now, wait a minute. What if you're drinking the wine in your room? There's no corkage fee for that, is there?
If you want to bring it on board, there's a corkage fee. They will confiscate it.
I did a Princess cruise, and on that, you're allowed to have one bottle in your room of anything, and there was no fee.
Okay, well, so. Norwegian, they... Your choice was to pay the corkage fee, or they will confiscate it and give it back to you the night before departure, which for me work good because I frequently go on back-to-back cruises on the same ship. And so if I'm on a two-week cruise, then they will, and I had two bottles of wine, I let them confiscate. They will give them back to me the night before I leave the first week. And so then I have two bottles for the second week. So
now, when you do that, do you have to get off the ship and get back on in between?
It depends on the country. In Canada, when we did it in Quebec City, you did not have to leave the ship at all. In when we did it in Boston, you had to, you didn't have to get off the ship, but you had to go outside of a certain gate area where they checked out your old card and checked in your new card. And so different countries have different options. Another option, which I end up taking, is they give 250 minutes on the internet. Now, to me, this isn't worth a lot, but I do use the internet because I can do it on shore easily enough. There's enough free Wi-Fi places, but the it's more convenient to do it on sea. So if it's a choice, is one of the two for four options, the internet always is a choice. All right. Somebody said he has an interest in becoming an AP blackjack player, and he's finally decided to commit time for it. I am in outside sales, so I have enough free time during the day to spend 2 to 3 hours a day on training and education. He has a deck of cards that he counts through, blackjack strategy trainer, and card counter apps on his phone, a printout of the basic strategy chart, and he uses Blackjack Trainer Net on my laptop. I'm wondering if there's an optimal way of learning basic strategy. Some of the rules just make sense and I can get them to stick, like standing on 13 when a 5 is showing, looking at a dealer to bust. Others, like splitting 2s or 3s versus a 7 or doubling on a 10 versus an 8 but not a 9, I'm not sure why, other than the numbers must say so. Are there any resources that talk you through each hand and why? For me, having the reason would make it easier to commit to memory. Richard.
Well, both Theory of Blackjack and Playing Blackjack as a Business have charts that tell you exactly how much better it is to make one play over the other. But there's no reason. It sounds like you're looking for a reason, like, you know, you hit soft 18 against a 9 because you're going to lose with 18 versus a 19 too often. There aren't those kind of reasons. It all just boils down to, if you make this play, your expectation is one thing, and if you make that play, your expectation is another, and this number is higher, so that's why you make it. But if you're having trouble memorizing the chart, one of the things that helped me was in Playing Blackjack as a Business, the basic strategy charts were color-coded. And so the patterns of the colors helped me memorize it. And the other thing in Playing Blackjack as a Business is there are kind of training tests that asks you, what do you do with 12 against a 3 or whatever? You might also try flashcards. But, you know, your memory is just a muscle, and if you exercise the muscle, it gets stronger. So it really is not that hard to memorize basic strategy if you just put some time and effort into it.
Okay, good. Another one wants to know about how to figure out the advantages of getting a player's card for video poker player. Player's cards connect you to the slot club, and slot clubs are a method for casinos to bribe players into playing more at their particular casino. Benefits can include a wide variety of things, but cashback, free play, money in the mail, free room and board, free gifts, point multipliers, etc. There is no limit to the imagination of marketing directors on what they can give you. Except in rare cases, video poker games in and of themselves are always less than 100%, meaning that if you keep playing these games without special benefits, you're going to lose. So if you're going to play with an edge, which is what this show is all about, you need the return from slot clubs and various promotions to make the payout high enough. So except in extremely rare cases, I always accept the bribe and sign up. It takes some practice to get good estimates on how much a slot club returns. I address various aspects of this subject regularly in my blog on gamblingwithanedge.com, and it's also posted on bobdancer.com. Another video poker question. Somebody wanted to know about good times pay. It has multipliers. It's a triple play game. And so what he wants to know is, would having the multiplier change the strategy? Short answer is no, it doesn't. You can play good times play for 5 coins, 6 coins, 7 coins, 8, 9, up to 10 coins per line for all 3 lines. And the multipliers are appropriate. So if you're 6 times coins, if you're betting 6 coins, the average multiplier is 1.2. If you're 10 times coins, the average multiplier is 2.0. So it has variance, which can mean fun. And if you're playing under a good promotion, you get to play twice as much money coin-in-wise if there's no bankroll considerations. All right, another question for Richard. I'm seeking to become an AP blackjack player. I have a strong grasp on the game and basic strategy, but I just started learning to count thanks to our show. There are a lot of card strategies out there, but I wonder what Richard would suggest for a beginner with reasonable ability. I'm not quitting my day job and only be able to play 150 to 200 hours per year. I know there are a lot of options, but I'm curious on Richard's opinion. I'm also willing to listen to Bob in case he knows anything. Thanks a lot. Follow up, I have black belt in blackjack, but I was curious if either had a favorite book for blackjack. Now, since I don't know anything, Richard, I'll let you deal with this.
I have a lot of favorite books. Black Belt in Blackjack is one I've recommended a lot. I also like Blackjack Blueprint by Rick Blaine. One of the things I like about that book is that he includes kind of some stories about playing, which I always found entertaining. I prefer books that have those kind of things. And the book that I started with, I think, is still really good, Playing Blackjack as a Business. Not so much his suggestions about bet spreads and things like that, but just for learning basic strategy and how to count that those things. And I'm not sure. It sounded like he was asking which count I recommend. If you're reading Black Belt, that's Red 7, which is fine. I prefer the high-low. I just think if you're going to learn how to count, it's not that much extra work to learn how to divide and get a true count as opposed to pivot points. So, I always recommend the high-low. And those are the books I like. Blackjack Blueprint, Playing Blackjack as a Business.
When I was trying to learn blackjack back in the 80s, one of the books that was most inspirational to me was Ken Houston's Million Dollar Blackjack, which kind of gives the basic of the big player system, although he had other books that did that as well. And his stories, I thought, were fascinating and inspirational. I'm not sure how good the blackjack system. I actually learned the three-level count that was in that book, which is probably one reason why I never was all that successful at blackjack. But
actually, I really liked Million Dollar Blackjack, too, again, because it had stories about playing. And another book I should mention is Professional Blackjack by Stanford Wong.
Yes.
That's a really good one.
And, you know, Arnold Snyder has lots of blackjack books, which are very competent.
Yeah.
Okay. Another question. At a casino I visit from time to time, a non-Las Vegas Caesars Entertainment property that will remain nameless for reasons that will become apparent, most of the video poker is pretty bad outside of the high limit room, which is not unusual for Caesars properties. On the main floor, 25 cent and dollar jacks are better is generally 8.5, which means 97.3 if you play it right. There is a single machine in a bank of 8 machines that has 9.6 jacks are better at the 25 cent level. That is 99.5. Although the game still pays 8.5 for half dollars and dollars. Now my question. For purposes of comps, what sort of theoretically loss would be assigned to this machine? In other words, do you think the CET system would recognize that this is a 9.6 machine and thus assign it a lower Theo than an 8.5 machine? Okay.
Good question.
And the system is probably not set up to properly reward quarter players anyway. It takes a major, major commitment for a quarter player to reach diamond status, and seven stars is out of reach. But if you're willing to play $10,000 coin in a day, perhaps with two people playing on the same card, you'll get some benefits. That's about, if it's a fast machine and you're a fast player, 10 hours of play in a day, which is a lot. Usually, games on each machine all have the same theoretical as the other games on the machine. Since most of the games are bad on that machine, probably you'll be overcomped at the quarter 9-6 checks or better. If you're afraid of asking a host directly to what you're entitled to, which is hosts don't want to talk to quarter players anyway, play $10,000 a day for several days, either consecutively or part, depending on how often you're there, and see what comes in the mail or talk to a host then and says, does your play entitle you to anything? Even if it does give you the Theo of a 8-5 game, $10,000 a coin in might give you an extra $30 or $40 compared to the comps you're getting on a 9-6 game. You need to play several $10,000 sessions to earn a room comp or a nice meal. If buffet satisfies you, you'll earn an extra buffet every one or two of the $10,000 sessions.
Now, what about if this Harris property is in a small market? I mean, might he get more, if he's at a smaller Harris property out in the sticks?
Possibly, but the general philosophy is they will give you up to 20% of the theoretical. Yeah. And on a quarter single line machine, which is $800 to $1,000 per hour coin in, there's not that much basis to deal with. Now, if he could get it on a $5 machine, now you can get 20 times as much and you can get some nice comps. Somebody had an experience at Pechanga, which is in Temecula, which is north of San Diego. After playing at Pechanga for nearly a year and taking the detailed notes per game on my phone that I do, I've attracted the attention of the Pechanga Gaming Commission. I know you warned us in video poker class that using a cell phone in a casino for gaming purposes is a felony, at least in Nevada. He was doing it Pechanga. So even though he's been open and he shared exactly what he's doing with his notes to the 20-plus floor personnel and supervision, and he got no dissension among the personnel he spoke to, somebody named Ruben, pretty sure it's not Max Ruben, somebody named Ruben came and escorted him out and directed him never to play again. He said he doesn't work for Pechanga. He works for the California Gaming Commission. He implied that this restriction applies to all California casinos. So far, he's been 86 by Pechanga and Paula, which is, 10, 15 miles away. Not very far. He says he's sure his ID, picture, and automobile are on a hit list for California gaming control violators. Now, he wants to know what he should do. If he plays at Barona, which is another casino in the area, and he hits a royal flush, could they not pay him? Should he cut out? He wants to know if he should cut out, play at video poker in California totally, move to Nevada, or hire legal representation and hope he doesn't get sent to jail.
So, well, I don't see how hiring legal representation could get him sent to jail.
I don't know.
Unless he means keep playing and hope he doesn't get arrested, and, you know.
So,
this I'm mind-boggled by this story. I mean, I've never heard of the California Gaming Commission doing anything to anybody. So, this is pretty surprising to me.
It is.
But it also, you know, we keep telling people this on the show. You can't sit at a machine and use your phone. I mean, now, he wasn't plugging in hands, or it doesn't sound like he was plugging in hands to learn how to play. He was making notes, but if you're going to make notes, don't do it sitting at the machine. You know, go somewhere, you know, where you're standing and you're not playing when you make your notes. I can't imagine them giving you a hassle about that if you're, you know, standing off in a corner just making notes on your phone. You could be sending an email, for all they know. Although they will use surveillance to look at what you are writing in the phone, so look up and get into a blind spot when you do this.
Yeah, they very likely do not have cameras in the bathroom. So
right.
Go in and sit. Yeah. And while you're sitting there, otherwise occupied, write your notes. If he's talking about things like he put in an extra $100 or, you know, and he wants to keep track of how much he played, well, put in even numbers, whether it's 200, 1,000, whatever the number is for you, and you can keep track of one or two of those buy-ins until the next time you have to go to the head. It's not that hard. Yeah. Now, hiring legal representation, I don't know what he hopes to accomplish. Suing Indian casinos is tough, and to me it doesn't seem like he has a case. Without knowing all the exact details, it appears like they have 86 due appropriately.
Yeah, I would at least talk to a lawyer, you know, not about suing them, but about finding out if you can get this 86 overturned. You know, because it sounds like he really hasn't done anything wrong. So, I don't know. I mean, I would at least talk to a lawyer to see what they thought about whether he could get this rescinded.
Now, especially, it's one thing about getting 86 at Pechanga rescinded. It's another, you know, he was implying that he might be 86 from all California casinos.
You would have to appeal to the Gaming Commission, not to Pechanga. I mean, Pechanga and Pala, that's a separate issue, but he would have to, the lawyer would be able to tell him whether he had any chance of having the Gaming Commission.
If he's playing using a player's card, it makes it real easy for casinos to have a program in place to compare the name on that card with whatever list the Gaming Commission puts out. Whether or not they have that in place or not, I'm not sure. Using someone else's card to get around the restriction could be called fraud. That has its own perils.
Well, you could also get a name change, but the problem is if you're playing video poker, I hear these stories of people, you know, that it's possible to get a social security number changed, but I've never known anyone who actually could do it. So, you know, your social's going to pop even if you get a name change.
But one of the more interesting things on this is Pechanga apparently is actively looking for people using their phones at the machine.
Right. And calling in the Gaming Commission over it.
This is useful news to our listeners as things you should not do in Pechanga. All right.
Oh, and his other question, should he move to Nevada? First of all, it doesn't seem like the video poker is very great in Nevada, and that's kind of a lifestyle question, right? If you're going to base your whole where you live on your video poker play,
I did.
Yeah, but I don't know. My guess is that there are probably better places to move to if your whole reason for moving is the video poker opportunities.
Really? Okay.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you would know better than I, but it doesn't seem like the video poker has steadily declined here in Las Vegas.
Correct. And players have been booted more aggressively in the past 2 or 3 years than they were previously. New question. As someone who works from home and has always been an AP at heart, he has lots of time where he can presumably practice on his computer for a lot of games. He already used the Red 7 count fairly well, and he's learning Jacks or Better strategy for video poker. I realize a lot of the edge is scouting games, playing rebates and bonuses and whatnot, but what game should I be practicing on my computer in order to maximize my win in Vegas? Did you want to try this, Richard?
Well, wait, it sounds like he's trying to learn video poker.
Well, Jacks are better. Okay, well, I'll go first, and then how much time you'll be spending in Vegas and what stakes do you plan to be playing for? 9-6 Jacks are better without a slot club and promotion. It's a losing game. Red 7 is an acceptable count, but not the best one. In Vegas, casinos differ widely on what video poker games are offered, and each casino differs in what games they offer for which stakes. Some casinos market to locals, others market to a lot of out-of-towners. What is your game plan going to be? If you think I'm going to announce on the radio what I think the best plays are, think again. Any great game would become defunct as many players descended on the casino, and the casino made adjustments in order to survive. I'm not interested in doing this for a number of reasons.
Yeah, and you're already training at blackjack. There are no other trainers that are publicly available for games other than blackjack and video poker that I'm aware of. So if you've heard about carnival games or something that are beatable, there are no training methods that you can buy public available to the public that I'm aware of. So,
all right. We are on now going to take a brief break for some commercials. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. The promotion in October is called Free Play with a Kicker. Each week on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, you can pick up your normal free play. If you pick it up on one of those days, you get the same amount of free play on Friday or Saturday of the same week. If you pick up all 8 free play awards on Monday, October 29th, you get a double free pay pickup. In the sportsbook, South Point now offers in-game wagering. We'll sign up at the casino. Our next week's show, we'll be talking to Captain Jack who is a sports bettor. I have some questions about the in-game wagering and what to do with it. So we'll address those next week. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get corrections on most of the games. The game of the week is 100 Play Draw Poker. As with Triple Play, 5 Play, 10 Play, 25 Play, 50 Play, there are no strategy changes to play 100 Play accurately. There's no change in EV, although there's a considerable reduction in variance. Given the same total bet, we'll pick a big one, but it can be anything. Say 25-cent 100 play, which is $125 a hand, versus $25 single play. We could make it penny single play, penny 100 play versus dollar single line. The variance of the 100 play is something like 1/10 of the variance of the single line game, simply because you get a lot of partial pays. In the $25 single line game, your two lowest amounts you can get are zero or $25. There's nothing in between. If you're playing 25-cent 100 play, it would be extremely rare to get zero, although possible, but you could end up with $125, $250, $375, $5, $6, or any of the multiples of a dollar and a quarter. And so it smooths out things for both the player and the casino. You'll get fewer W2Gs playing 100 play than you will on single line. Assuming you're not playing a promotion that values W2Gs, that's a good deal. On a personal basis, if the pay schedule is the same, and as far as I know, there's no difference in the theoretical on the games, I much prefer as many lines as possible. With the lower variance, my score is much more likely to end up close to the predicted EV, and if that wasn't over 100%, I wouldn't be there in the first play. And 50 play and 100 play are a lot more fun. You get all these chances at things. You're dealt three aces and double-double bonus, and good things can happen when you get 50 shots at it or 100 shots at it. Good. So I like to play that game. If the reason I didn't use penny 100 play versus dollar single line is usually on penny 100 play machines, the pay schedule's not the same. Casinos make penny games very tight, and dollar plays can be much, much looser. Now, if you can find such an animal, that'd be fine, but they're relatively rare. All right. Our next question. This is for Richard. Do you plan out your trips before touring? And what's the longest amount of time you've been on tour nonstop?
Well, I'm officially retired. So,
is this for the second time, third time?
second time this decade, maybe. many more than two or three. But and other than just one trip about a month ago, I'm retired.
That I really want to talk about, and we will someday, but
someday,
not yet.
Someday. The longest that I've been away from home, I think, is a month. Definitely since I've had kids, the longest, I'm pretty sure, was a month. But normally I don't go that long. Most of the time, when I used to travel, most of the time, I would go for maybe 4 days to a week. But a lot of times it would be a four-day trip. So,
yeah, you went to Europe and you went to Korea, and those would certainly be longer than 4 days.
Well, yeah. Europe the first time, I think, was 3 weeks. Korea, I used to go for... we had an apartment there, and I would usually go for about 2 weeks at a time when I was playing in Korea.
All right. The same guy asked, he says he loves the show, thank you. It's not a gambling-related question, but what are your guys' favorite places for a date night meal? Many knowledgeable visitors know there are tons of places outside of the tourist areas, but I'd like to hear your and your wife's favorite.
Wow. So we like to go to a lot of different places just because we like to try new places all the time. We've tried lots of places in Chinatown. If you're visiting Vegas, Chinatown is very close to the Strip. It's a great place to go. A lot of the places are pretty inexpensive. The best Korean place that we like is called Hobak on Spring Mountain Road. There are a couple of ramen places on Spring Mountain my wife really likes. There's that. Another place we really like is the Italian American Club, especially on Saturdays or Sundays. They have this singer named Jerry Tiffy, who is really old school Vegas. I knew him 40 years ago when he was playing at the Sands. So that's a place we like. There's a little Italian place downtown called Chicago Joe's. There is a bar on Tropicana and Eastern called The Dispensary that has jazz, so periodically I'll go there. We also just found a really good tiny hole-in-the-wall Mexican place that's kind of far from the Strip, but it's called Chili Caliente, and it's way out near... Well, it's near Costco, if anybody knows where that is. But you can look it up, Chili Caliente. That's really good. Another Mexican place we really like is Lindo Michoacan.
Costco, the one he's referring to, would it be at the 95 freeway at, say, Russell or Galleria?
Or Sunset, yeah.
Yeah.
There, Lindo Michoacan, there's one in Henderson that is kind of up in the foothills that overlooks the whole Vegas Valley and has this whole wall of windows at night. So it's really a nice place. And you know what? I also want to give a shout out. Like many of our listeners who are into gambling probably also like puzzles.
Yes.
And so one of the things I like to do is go to escape rooms. And I go with a few other Advantage players who also like escape rooms. And we went to one the other night that was by far the best one any of us had ever been to here in Las Vegas. And it's called Escape Key. So, you know, if you're interested in escape rooms or want to try it, that is the best one that I've found. And it's out kind of near Eastern and Serene. So you should check that out as well.
I go to the gym at Eastern and Serene. Okay. And how much does it cost to go to the escape room?
I think it was $30. There might be a Groupon. I don't know. But that's usually what they are, around $30.
Good. Yeah, it sounds like fun if you get a group of you together. Can you go with four or six? It doesn't make sense to go with 20 people.
No. Four or six would be a good size group. Yeah. And if you've never done one before, it would help to have at least one person who's done one, because I think you would have almost no chance of solving it if all the people have never done an escape room before. Although, you know, for any escape room, there is an intercom usually in the room and you can get hints if you're stuck. So, but I would recommend trying to have someone who's done one before if
all right. Good. So, do you rent yourself out so you'll go with them when they... No, it's probably... couldn't afford you. Yeah. Okay. Now for...
You'd be four surveillance guys and me, right?
Yeah. Ted Whiting would love to do an escape room with you, I'm sure. Now, for me, date night restaurants, I guess we don't really have one. Although it keeps getting fewer and fewer, I still have a number of casinos where I have food comps. And
well, but you must like some of those restaurants, right?
Yeah, but and so for date night, we'll just pick out the nicest one from those. The paying for meals in Las Vegas is something we rarely do. Our standby where we pay real cash money is place called Sweet Tomatoes or Soup Plantation, which is, there's several locations. This is a soup and salad bar. It is.
Yeah, we eat there at least once a week as well.
It is a healthy alternative, and it's pleasant. It hardly qualifies as date night material.
Well, but now you guys like to dance too, right?
Yeah. Now you mentioned the Italian America Club on the first Thursday night of each month. Which we no longer go to because I got something else on Thursdays. But they have a show where they get 10 or 15 of big band players who've been in Vegas for 30 or 40 years, and they all get in there and jam, and they have a really nice dance floor. And so you can't eat. The showroom is not the same as the restaurant, but when we go there, we'll eat dinner there beforehand, and the show itself is something like $10, and it has a nice dance floor, and it's there's some 80-year-old horn players and stuff, which is old-time Vegas. It's pretty cool.
Where else do you like to go dancing? Where do you go? There got to be some of our listeners who like to dance, besides Mike Sexton.
Well, we frequently go to the South Point. On a Friday and Saturday night, there's a lounge. The Grandview Lounge has a pianist singer named Wes Winters. And there's two dance floors there. It gets not too crowded, and we go there. All right. Let's go back to other questions. Somebody wants to know how you go scouting video poker or slot machines in a new city if you can't find the small places on Google Maps.
Wait a minute. I forgot about one thing.
Yes.
I also like theater a lot, and there is a growing theater community here in Las Vegas. And
yes,
a lot of small theaters have opened that are doing a lot of really good work. So we like to go to plays, and that's another thing that we do on date night.
Yes. Yeah, we do that too a little bit. All right. So this guy wants to scout VP, and he can't find the place. So I guess one of the first rules of being an AP is you have to be able to figure out how to get there.
Well, I would add, there is the American Casino Guide is online, and Casino City has maps of casinos everywhere, and American Casino Guide has an app that connects you to a map on how to get there. And if you still can't find the place, pull into a gas station and go, hey, where's the casino? I mean, you know, the people who live around there have to know where the casino is.
And and most casinos, even the small ones, have a website and there's...
Or a phone number.
And
I would also say, if it's that hard to find, you probably aren't going to be able to win much money there.
Yeah, they sweat when you get up $18.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any interesting story about delusional players that believe they have an advantage when obviously they don't?
Well, of course. I mean, I have stories about everything, but...
And I love his stories.
My stories are actually about people who were advantage players who had, because ploppies, who cares really what they believe? But when advantage players have these delusional ideas, that's more interesting to me. Now, one of them was I was on a blackjack team with a guy who was really a brilliant guy and nominated for the Blackjack Hall of Fame a number of times. But he was bipolar, and at some point he went off his meds and decided that he could play psychic poker. And
psychic blackjack, psychic poker?
No, psychic poker, and he was going to play poker without looking at his cards.
Uh-huh.
Now, I believe that actually really good poker players could probably do this, but not if the other players at the table know that you're not looking at your cards.
Yes.
And so the other players knew, and of course he was playing very high stakes, and the other players basically just sucked all the money they could out of him, and finally some friends intervened before he went entirely broke and got him out of there and at various times, you know, would try to get him back on his meds and get help for him. The other one was another advantage player, this one female, who was very well known and respected in the community, at one time started playing psychic blackjack.
Uh-huh.
Where she decided that she could determine either the next card coming or the dealer's hole card, and everybody just decided that she had gone off the deep end. But in retrospect, uh-huh, I sort of suspect that maybe she actually was doing something else, and because as any advantage player, when people come into a casino and see you playing, they immediately go, oh, what are they doing? Maybe there's an edge there. How do I get whatever they're getting?
Yes.
And so I came to suspect later that maybe she had made up this story about psychic blackjack to protect whatever it is she was really doing. But I don't know that for a fact. But I do know another advantage player who was making a lot of money at Baccarat, who came up with, you know, a BS story like this, that he had devised this betting system to overcome Baccarat, and it was working. And Anthony Curtis actually told me, oh, you know, this guy, I think he's gone off the deep end. He claims he has this betting system, you know, for Baccarat, but he's won all this money. And I actually went over and observed the guy playing and realized he was not using some betting system. He actually, you know, had found a legitimate way to beat the game, and it was just using this story as cover. Yeah, those are my delusional player stories.
Yeah, and I have a number of those that I shared in Million Dollar Video Poker on video poker players who do this. We have just time for a few last questions. And good news for us is we didn't use up all our questions. So we gives us a head start next time we have to do this, although the next 2 weeks we currently have booked. If you hit a jackpot for the year, Can you say you don't have ID and come back after the first of the year and then claim the jackpot since you have up to 1 year to claim?
That's a really brilliant idea. And I have no idea if that would work or not. I suspect it would work, but I don't know. I guess we should ask Russell Fox.
We will ask Russell Fox. There's a lot of things that you can do. Now, he hits Jack. I'm assuming he's a slotter video poker player. But, like, I am ahead at this point this year. We're three quarters of the way through. And so at every casino I play at, my slot club points, I got a lot of them. I have many, many thousands of dollars of unredeemed slot club points. And as long as I'm ahead, then they're going to stay redeemed until at least unredeemed until at least January 1st. Were I behind, then I would draw down all my accounts to zero before the end of the year. You don't get, you know, for tax reasons. So that is something you can do tax-wise. This particular thing I've never heard of before.
Yeah, but a very clever idea. Actually, I will have to leave all names out of this story because what the casino did was, I'm sure, highly illegal. But I know a guy who works at a casino, and on New Year's Eve, one of their very good players hit a $400,000 jackpot at about 11:30 p.m. And the casino went to him and said, you know, maybe it was more like 11 o'clock p.m. And they said, you know, if you want, we could be very slow in processing all this paperwork and it might take us after midnight. And the guy was like, no, I want to be paid. And they're like, well, you know, it is New Year's Eve and things are very busy. So if you wanted us to be slow, we could have this happen after midnight. The guy just did not get it and insisted that he be paid right away. So they were like, okay.
Up on the old Frontier, which has been imploded a while ago, used to have a sign in their high limit room that players had an option on all $1,250 jackpots to accept $1,195.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of $5 machines where four of a kinds pay $1,250. And so a lot of people
would opt for that.
Would opt for that. All right. Finally, last question. Somebody wants to know, Richard, why did you pick the name Munchkin? And do you use the name in your civilian life?
The name was given to me when I was 13 years old. First time that me, my brother, and a good friend got high smoking pot. Thanksgiving morning. It was around that time that I started acting. So I started using it as a stage name, mm-hmm. and it stuck. So I just have continued to use it, since I was 13 years old. And actually an interesting thing happened. The first movie that I directed, the producers came and said, we don't want you to put this name in the credits. And I really didn't know what to do because I wanted to use that name because I thought, you know, people don't forget it, right? And
You're the only Munchkin I know.
Yeah, yeah. And when I used to live in Vegas, I was the only one in the phone book. So, so I made a list. I very carefully wrote down every person I knew in the film and television business. And I called them up and I said, look, this is a situation. They want me not to use this name. What do you think? And every single person on the list said, absolutely, you should keep that name because people aren't going to forget it. So I absolutely still use that name. And
so if you occasionally do some acting gigs, you would use that name in the acting game?
Yeah, I use it as an actor. I use it as a writer. My book is under that name. My movies and television shows are under that name. Absolutely. At one time, my driver's license was under that name.
Very good. All right. So, thank you, Richard. It's been fun. And we'll do it again. Next week, we have Captain Jack. Thank you very much. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.